Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 273rd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show, and I am back after a very, very busy March. And joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My good man, good to talk to you again. How are you doing?
Dude, I am great. We've had some really good wrestling lately. We finally got information on AEW All In. I'm like, dude, it's like literally, it is 3 months and 9 days away, and we finally got some information.
I know.
Some much needed information as far as what's coming, and it just like, it's crazy. You know, like, they're doing a whole week of it. And, man, I love this. I hope All In becomes their WrestleMania weekend. Like, back just a bunch of events and meet and greets and all that kind of stuff. So, that's what it seems like they're trying to do is their own WrestleMania weekend. I am excited for that. Sydney, got our tickets to Detroit Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
I am so excited to finally make it there. Last year, I remember it was a work thing, and they wouldn't give me the time off, so I couldn't come to the show, and I was just, or maybe it's 2 years ago, I don't even know, and I was so depressed, because I always said if they came to Detroit, I would be there, and so this time, I had enough notice, put in my time, bought the plane ticket, and I pretty much told my boss, hey, I'm going to Detroit. You might want to have someone here to cover because I won't be here. Because it's like at some point in time, if you keep giving them the chance to say no, you know, you're never going to go on a vacation. So
no, exactly. No, so, for real. Yeah, so. No, and the last time I'm pretty sure they were in Detroit was, I want to say 2023. I think it was 2023 because we saw... Yeah, because that was probably the year we went to maybe the most AEW shows. Yeah, because, they were at LCA back in May, which was when they had the steel cage match with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, where Don Callis officially turned on Kenny Omega, which, oh, my God, what a show. And that was the second time they did Detroit, and they have absolutely killed it with their Detroit show. So I'm hoping for another one. It's in the Masonic Temple this time instead of LCA, which Masonic Temple is a beautiful venue, and it's a nice little theater. So I think it's going to bring another cool little atmosphere for a wrestling show. And it should be a lot of fun. So hyped that you're coming with us too, because it's going to be a blast.
Yes, and I am honored, and I was going to tell Sydney this, because she's like, I want to be as close as possible, and I was like, hey, finding 3 seats in the first row might be difficult. It actually wasn't that difficult.
It wasn't that bad.
It was there, and then we just couldn't click on it fast enough. We couldn't click on it. I tried to click on it and say it was gone, so we got second row, first night, and then the second night we're in the second row in the 100 section technically. So yeah. I'm really excited about going to Detroit for the first time. Got my hotel booked, airplane. I'm like everything's done. Unlike like everything was done, because that's how in I was on it. I was like, I'm going. You know, like,
you got a hotel booked? You could have just crashed with us, man.
Sydney said y'all were doing construction.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah, with our house being a mess. Yeah, that does make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, so that's why my whole thought process is that I was staying with you.
Yeah, no, exactly. But you know what? I will say, with the fact that our house is completely just being redone and everything like that because of the flooding in our house, that does make a lot of sense. That literally didn't even cross my mind.
I'm not going to say the city that you live in, for personal reasons, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to say they don't have hotels there. All the hotels are like 17 miles away. So it's like, I want to stay close to y'all, but it's not really anything close to y'all.
Nah, and then you get to stay in Detroit, actually, and we can come down, hang out, and do some cool shit. You're going to hit up Mom's Spaghetti, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a ball. I'm hyped for it. And again, I'm hyped to be back. Like I said, very busy March for reasons you could probably understand with what I do for work. And I'm happy to finally be doing the podcast. And it's the go-home week for AEW Dynasty, which is looking to be a lot of fun. We're going to go through the go-home show of Dynamite going into this week. And, of course, got the Owen Hart Cup brackets. So we're going to go ahead and get into that. Before we get into everything, though, I want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Turn automatic downloads on and give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. And rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of All Things Elite. And then if you want to support us as well in another way, you can follow us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. At Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. Please check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And of course, the big news of the week is the men's and women's Owen Hart Cup brackets. They're going to be, we got those coming up. And that they did announce the brackets, did they not? Or are they announcing those?
That was not updated from last week.
Get the brackets. Yeah, so we're gonna get into those, man.
Yeah, so we're gonna announce and break down a little bit and kind of see where we think it's going in a few minutes. But that was just not. The rest of the notes are fine, but that one didn't get updated from last week.
I was just saying, I know for a fact the brackets announced. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and we'll get into that real quick. I'm gonna. Do you have that pulled up?
It's like the biggest things that surprised me, and as I pull it up, the biggest things that surprised me is some of the names that are not in it. I completely understand why some names will not be in it. There was some news that I'm going to talk about later about some of the injuries that were reported today. And it's just like, it's kind of.
It's a little disappointing. Yeah. So real quick, we'll start with the women first. We've got on the left side of the bracket, Jamie Hayter versus Billy Starks, Thunder Rosa versus Chris Statlander, Julia Hart versus Mercedes Moné, Harley Cameron versus Athena. Those two matches are on the right side of the bracket. This is, first of all, we're 1,000% going to set up, I know, for Athena, Mercedes Moné in the semis. And then it's probably looking like Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter is going to be in the final at Double or Nothing.
Okay. See, and this is how I see it, and tell me if I'm wrong, but this might be just me overbooking in a WWE brain. I feel like Athena's going to cost Mercedes, and then Mercedes is going to cost Athena, or vice versa.
Oh, okay. So they basically both screw each other out of their matches.
And then Harley Cameron is in the finals.
I would love, for my girl, I would love that. I would love that so much.
Because they
both for her to win the. I love for her to win the goddamn thing personally.
Because they have both have titles, it doesn't, you know, like it wouldn't.
And
hurt.
No, yeah, it doesn't really make sense for them to. Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, so.
Especially since you're supposed to get a title match if you win that belt.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could see, like, if they doing that, they could, you know, somehow tie or whatever, and we get like a triple threat match for all of the belts, which, you know, I wouldn't hate. You know,
yeah, wouldn't be a bad idea.
But no, I just thought like it seemed like it makes sense. You know, Harley is facing Athena. Mercedes comes out and helps Harley win, and then Harley faces Mercedes, and then Athena comes out and helps Harley win, and then the finals: Jamie versus Harley.
Hey, I mean, I ain't against it because I think that seems like it does line up a little bit more, even though it seems like the genuine final would be Jamie versus Mercedes.
And then you're building up the beef to get to Jamie. Building up the beef to get to Mercedes versus Athena, and that's where this all stems from.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And that would be, oh, God, I'm just like, I'm so happy Athena's on the main roster. I know I missed last week's episode where she debuted, but like, oh, I'm so fucking happy she's finally on the main roster.
Yes.
And now we'll move over.
Yeah, I've been fantasy booking Mercedes versus Athena in Texas since they announced the shows were going to be in Texas. So I am really excited if they go ahead and go through with that because, you know, I love both of them. So, I think that they would just. I think they're just going to put on this amazing wrestling match. So
I'm 1,000. Now to the men's tournament on the left side of the bracket: Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight, Brody King versus Konosuke Takeshita. Oh my God, that match! I'm hyped for. Right side of the bracket: Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher, and then on the right bottom right, you have Hangman Page versus a wild card.
Yes, there is a lot of guesses on who this wild card could be, and you know, I saw Darby Allin, and
Josh Alexander was one I saw.
Yeah, and I was like, well, in my opinion, it's not going to be Darby Allin because news dropped today he's supposed to climb the mountain on the 15th.
Yeah, so going to be unable to do that.
Yeah, so I doubt he's going to win the match. Josh Alexander makes a lot of sense. I don't know why, like, I for the life of me can't figure out why they would do this and have Hangman lose or Josh Alexander lose in the first round. It just feels like a big, big first round loss. It feels like I would have done it differently. But let's see how, you know, one thing I've done with AEW recently, and I think it's helped me enjoy the product, is instead of, like, second-guessing stuff before you see it, just let it play out and see whether you like it or not. So I'm going to be on the style of letting us find out who the wild card is, letting it go through with the result, and then deciding whether it can be done or not. So we'll see there. So let's do that. But I am looking forward to this bracket. Unfortunately, we did find out Jay White is injured and is going to be out months. So he is being replaced by Kevin Knight. I understand it because feels like Kevin Knight's going to be somebody that they're behind in the future. I personally was like, hey, man, even though they're going to put on an amazing match, I would have liked them to put a bigger name out there that you may could think Will Ospreay, even if, like, I would think, like, you put someone on there. I can't even think of a name, but right now, single star. Let's put Takeshita or Fletcher, just a name out there where you're pretty sure Will Ospreay is going to win, right? But it's not for certain. Kevin Knight takes it from, he could lose to 100%. He's not losing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean, with AEW tournaments, a lot of them are predictable. So, I mean, that's always going to be a thing, but they end up being great matches. So it's going to be a great match. This is not talking about Kevin Knight's ability or anything like that. This is all about, you know, whether the predictability of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, and it's a bummer for Jay White, because, I mean, like, that dude was just starting. It looked like where it was leading to was him costing Hangman, honestly, and kind of turning on him, and then you got a great feud with him and Hangman. But unfortunately, yeah, now it's just another setback. Bullet Club Gold guys have just been consistently, or Bang Bang Gang guys have just been consistently having some roadblocks on their way. Like, only just now did we see the Guns come back, and then obviously Juice has had a long road to come back and all that kind of stuff. So it's been tough on those guys.
Oh, absolutely. I am, as a very big fan of all four of those guys, it's been disheartening that we haven't got the four of them together, because I liked them when they were together. And they were kind of doing, the last time they were all four together, they were kind of doing face stuff. And I was like, oh, I would have loved to see where that can go. But of course, you know, we didn't get that chance because, you know, injury bug. So, I think, you know, Jay White missing this sucks, because Jay White versus Will Ospreay on a pay-per-view would have been all about that. So, yeah, that does suck that we're not getting that. But I think we're going to, just like AEW has done since their inception when it comes to injuries, they are going to make lemonades out of lemons. So I think that's what's coming here. So I think it's going to be some banger matches, and then people are going to be like, oh my God, I didn't know it was going to be that good. And then you're like, why not? Why didn't you know it was going to be that good? This is what they do. You know,
it is what they do.
Yeah, when it comes to wrestling, this is what they do. So, when I look at this bracket, I think this is more clear. To me, it's going to be Ospreay versus Fletcher.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Or unless that is Josh Alexander, I could see them doing Ospreay versus Josh Alexander. They had a banger back in the Impact days that a lot of people were talking about as one of the matches of the year. So I think running it back for the Owen Hart Cup or Owen Hart Foundation. I've been calling it the Owen Hart Cup, but it's the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Running that back would be awesome, and that would be a great
way. Calling it the Owen.
Yeah. Great way to introduce Josh Alexander for the people that may not know who he is. The dude's a phenomenal wrestler. Phenomenal wrestler.
Oh yeah, Josh. Yeah, Josh does some badass shit.
Yeah, like, dude, you know, when you talk about AEW, when you talk about having the elite wrestlers in the world, I don't know if you can call yourself elite if you don't have Josh Alexander in your stable. So I'm glad they did whatever they had to do to get him. I don't know how big the bag was, but I'm happy for him. And So if he's in this bracket, I look forward to it going off. And it'd be kind of funny, because he's Canadian, and if I think he works better as a heel,
right?
So if he's entered as a new member of the Don Callis family, going up against Will Ospreay,
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll move in now to the Go Home Dynamite going into AEW Dynasty.
The word to use for this Dynamite was uneventful. There were like three major things that happened, and then the rest was just kind of a show.
Yeah, the show was just a Dynamite, and then in terms of stuff that really built to Sunday, this weekend, honestly, not a whole lot. Yeah, stuff building to the Sunday was very little, honestly. Now, the main thing first, we opened up with the mixed tornado tag match between John Moxley and Marina Shafir versus Swerve Strickland and Willow Nightingale. And this was fun. No joke, this was fun. We haven't gotten a lot of mixed tag matches, I think, on AEW in a little while. And it was nice to see Marina in an actual match. I think she was getting the ability to get some work in there. I think she still got a little bit of ways to go, but I still think the upside for her is tremendous. I loved how Willow looked so good in this match and picked up the win. And then he hit the paradigm shift on her too. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Marina took the bullet for John Moxley. She pushed him out the way and then got kicked in the head by Swerve. And then after the match, after Willow hits the Babe with the powerbomb on Willow celebrating. She bumps into Moxley. He
doesn't know who it is. Yeah, he's seen red.
And then DDT'd her, and then afterwards, and he saw her on the ground, he just kind of shrugged his shoulders because he's a bastard, and we hate him, and we're going to fight him. And
I'm telling you, man, dude, it's like John Moxley's shit against goddamn Willow Nightingale. I do not understand. I think I'm glad that she's like holding back and standing up for herself, but like, goddamn, y'all have been going at this girl for so goddamn long, and I just like, It's messed up. It's messed up.
So this is an aspect that they might play out on another show on Collision or the pay-per-view like this. I would like Renee to be pissed off at John Moxley for DDT and Willow.
I would love that. I would love that.
It's just because I just said it. It's just like something when it comes to those two characters on the show, they feel so detached from each other. Everybody knows they're married, it's like this stuff. And so, like, you've seen this whole thing, like when Swerve's like, "I'm going to see your husband," and people are mentioning it. It's just like she is the wife of the most violent man in the company.
If they're gonna have wrestlers say it to her, like she's got to be actually like addressing him on TV at some point.
Yes.
If wrestlers can say that, like talk about it, then she's got to be involved with it too. You know what I mean?
She's either got to be against it or for it. She has to pick a side.
Pick a side.
So no, I like, yeah. Like if he would have said, "Hey, I got to go find your husband," I was like, she's like, "You might not like when you find him." You know, that kind of things like something.
No, yeah.
Like either playing for him or playing against him, it would be cool. But she kind of stays in the middle. And for me, it's just like, that just like, you know, this full immersive wrestling experience, if your lead commentator happens to be married to the biggest dick in the company, people are going to give her shit about it.
1,000%. Like, 1,000%.
Like, no one's just going to be like, "Oh, that's just what your husband's doing. You're okay." No.
No.
He says he's scared of you. Won't you tell him to stop dropping women on their head?
For real. No. Yeah.
But again, I want to be clear. That could just be a me and Austin thing. Some people might just be fine with it. I don't know. It just depends on how far you want to go into everything. But,
yeah.
But Renee is a national treasure. She is.
She is. She absolutely is.
I feel like when someone comes in the company and you think about the role that she plays, you wouldn't think that it would elevate the product. But I think having her backstage and involved elevates the product.
No, 1,000%. Yeah. Like, she's one of the best at what she does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but a really fun, entertaining
banger. Banger.
One of my favorite matches that I've seen the Death Riders in, honestly.
And I got to tell you something. Again, this is going to be me glazing AEW again. This is a match type that I don't like anywhere else.
Yes.
And they made it work last night. Do I want to see a mixed tags or whatever you want to call them every week? No. But they did it and they executed it. And the guys didn't try to hit the women, but they weren't afraid to hit the women.
Correct. Yes. 1,000%.
Like when you watch on other shows when they do this, it's like the guys are like running away. "I cannot touch the woman," kind of thing. And it takes you out of your suspension of disbelief, because with four people in and they're all fighting each other, yeah, someone may catch some fire that they weren't supposed else to take. And then they had that moment where they were both in the move, like, "Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it." And I was just like, and then Swerve messages later, which I think he is amazing at tying in his social media with what's going on in wrestling. He's like, "I should have dropped her." And I'm like, "You should have." And I'm like, "You should have dropped her," especially after what Moxley did. So it was, it was a very entertaining match in a match type I generally don't like. I was kind of planning on zoning out on it, and then they both made me pay attention.
That's what I felt like with like the giant 8-man or 10-man tag matches that I do not like, but AEW can still make them work.
They make them work because it's just like we had seen it presented a certain way for so many years. We thought that's the way it has to be done. And then you get to this other company, and they executed a little differently, maybe more of the indie way. And people might say, oh, well, it looks whatever, but it's entertaining. Their fan base likes it. It's not just like six people standing around while two people fight. It is action. Yeah. It was action the whole match. And yeah, I just really appreciated how they execute stuff like traditionally for me, I didn't like.
I'm right there with you, man.
I was at one point where I'm like, well, if they're not going to hit each other, why do we even do these matches?
Right.
It's like we all know what we're watching. You know, without saying we know what we're watching. We know the dudes aren't beating, this is a – I always say wrestling is a sport, but it's a cooperative sport, not a competitive sport.
Correct. Well, speaking of Renee, we then had her interviewing FTR backstage, and Dax, he actively paid his fine money to referee Paul Turner for what he did on Collision. Yes. And apologized.
This was the definition of rich people not knowing what stuff costs.
Yeah. Well, how much was it?
He gave him $10,000 and he said, take your wife out to a nice dinner. I'm like,
Excuse me, dude,
a Michelin star restaurant is only going to cost about $500 to $1,000. Like,
I mean, man, I'm pretty sure he can eat like at 80 dinners.
Yes. He's going to be eating dinner for a while on that $10,000. I'm like, no, I was just like, rich people don't know how much things cost. It was hilarious to me.
Nope.
But the little line about, hey, don't cash that till Friday. Chuckle. Because if you've read a lot of old wrestling stories, that was the old ECW Paul Heyman thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Dax then goes and says, him and Cash we're gonna put our issues aside before Sunday. We love each other like brothers. He apologized to Cash, said he didn't mean to push him. It was an accident. He didn't push him on purpose. He went to hug Cash, but Cash said, listen, we're brothers. We'll be fine. But after Sunday, we have to talk. And then he walks away.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. FTR is fine. They're going to be together forever. There's no dissension. We're okay. And if we're not okay,
is this insider information that you have?
No, this is completely BTE. The Elite is fine. This is me doing that gimmick.
Yeah. I was just going to say, though.
And this is me being Cody in that gimmick saying, everything's fine.
That's why I said it, too.
Yeah, everything's fine, though. No, not inside information. I'm like asking Jackie, if they break up, what side, which side are you going to be on? If our parents divorce, which side are you going to be on? And she's like, we just decided we're both going to jump off of a bridge together. There you go.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We're not going to pick a side.
Does FTR, do they get to decide who keeps who? Like, does Dax keep Jackie and Cash keep you? Or, like, how's that go?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. I would be like, if it came down to having to pick, I'd have to pick Dax. Because Dax like me. Dax likes to sit in his house and drink tequila and watch wrestling. Cash is an outdoors guy. And if you know me, there's one thing I absolutely hate. Outdoors. It wouldn't be about either one of their, it wouldn't be nothing about who I like more. It's just one guy likes to be outside and Floyd hates to be outside.
That he does.
I'm like,
but no,
yeah, they announced a new time for All In, which we'll talk about later, and I was like, yes, that means the roof's gonna be shut. that was all that went through my mind.
Like, oh, thank God.
Yes, I want that room shut. I hate outside.
There you go. Well, then, I mean, just now your boys at FTR, like just kind of talking about just what they've got them going in right now, because I haven't been able to talk to you about any of this stuff recently.
Dude,
just like,
and everybody's like, oh, what do you think? I'm like, dude, you have to understand how I watch wrestling. I love this because they matter. They have this history in AEW with tag teams. The Guns, for one sec, they came back, got a title shot, and disappeared. You know, like, tag Outrunners get a title shot, lose, disappear. You know?
Private party.
Yeah, private party loses the titles, disappear. This is what happens in AEW. So the fact that my boys are on screen every week and on every show, my thumbs are way up. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
But that's how I watch wrestling. I do know a lot of people have to watch it where they're actively like, I just want my guy to win. I just want my guy to win. And that's one way to watch wrestling. Me, I just want my people in important shit that matters and having big matches. So this is a storyline, added intrigue, six-man title match at Dynasty. They're on the pay-per-view, unlike last time where I was at the pay-per-view, they weren't on it. And so I'm like, I'm happy, you know? Yeah, no, because you know me, it's like, I think if Cash, if Dax just like, I'm done wrestling, I'm retired. I think Cash just retires too. I don't think Cash really wants to do this without Dax. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's like if you said you didn't want to do this show anymore, you know, I don't know if I would want to do this show anymore. I like this show, but it was like you brought in like, you know, me again, blowing you up. Yeah, you brought in consistency to, you know, a person. You bring in professionalism to how you do the show.
You say consistency. I've been gone for like 3 weeks.
You know, and you didn't hear the last show, but I even said that was on me. Because March Madness comes every year, and every year you're busy. We should just make a plan. I've actually put it on my Google Calendar to make a plan next year to just have a guest host during March Madness.
Fair enough.
Because it happens every year. It's like the 1 month we actually skipped a month doing shows was doing March Madness. So this is what happens around this time of year, and I could see it happening in college football or whatever. But it's like this is something we can plan for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so next year, during March Madness, if any of you listen to the show and watch sports, we'll probably just be having guest hosts during that week or whatever. And then 1 week, I couldn't do it either. Because I had a memorial service to do. Yeah. So I was like, I was telling you I couldn't do it. So
yep.
Yeah, so it's shit happens. Life happens.
Oh, yeah, it is. But yeah, so moving off of FTR, though, and also, again, I appreciate you like so much, Floyd. Appreciate you. Yeah. But moving on to the next match, Timeless Toni Storm goes one-on-one with Penelope Ford. Big match for Ford. She's been used consistently for quite some time now. Now getting a match with the women's world champion, the current women's world champion. And the work that these two did, I thought it was really, really solid. I liked how she fought hard. Match itself was pretty solid. But then you get this moment afterwards where Megan Bain, she comes out, wants to stare down the champion, but didn't get in the ring, like, and just kind of like walks down the ramp and just does a little sarcastic clap. Mocking Toni Storm. And I thought this was solid. It was at least a little bit of a thing to talk about. Like, hey, this match is happening in a few days. I thought it was solid. I thought Penelope held her own. Toni Storm is still spectacular. I thought it was a nice little match. I didn't think it was anything world-breaking, but I thought it was solid.
I thought what I saw of it was solid. Unfortunately, sometimes when I absolutely know who's going to win, I kind of zone out during the match until the bell rings. And
right.
I watched like the first minute of this match, and then I kind of zoned out until Toni won. And then they did, you know, what they did after the match. But, I like that Penelope is being used. I like that you're using a lot of talent. I liked the Owen Hart Foundation thing, but it was like I just thought of so many names that were missing, and I was just like, man, they only can use who they can use. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I I'm not gonna sit here and dwell on who's not there. I'm gonna focus on who's there. Penelope is there every week, and she's wrestling, and the thing with Megan Bain is working, and, you know, they even got a shout out from JD from New York, which no matter how many mutes and blocks I do, I can't avoid
it. For you,
I cannot avoid this man. I can't. I have muted and blocked more people in the last 3 weeks trying to avoid this man than I've ever in my whole existence on Twitter, and I still saw his shit today.
That's a shame.
I don't even know. Like, dude, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I'm just going to have to go to New York and just, you know, take him
out. I guess so.
And like, the only way I'm going to stop seeing him is if he doesn't exist. He is everywhere. It's my circle of the internet. Because I know people that watch wrestling every week that have literally never heard of that man. You know?
Yeah.
But I can't avoid him.
I'll have to get you in my feet or something, because I don't see brother nearly as much as you do at this point.
Dude, people like copy his whole video and post it without putting his name in it, so it gets around my filters.
Yeah, I feel you. But moving on, we did get a backstage update. Renee Paquette was trying to get an update from Will Nightingale for a medical update, and then Swerve shows up, and Swerve goes, look, Willow's strong and brave. That's why I didn't mind facing off against the Death Riders with her. She was welcoming a challenge. But Jon Moxley, knowing the history of neck issues she has, you still chose to do what you did tonight. You're on the hunt. I'm not resting until I get my hands on Jon Moxley by the end of the night. And I will have my hands on Jon Moxley by the end of the night. I promise you. So a little bit of a tease to get people to continue to watching, because Swerve now was a man on a mission.
Yeah, because if you think about it, they did their main event first.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you look at how the rest of the show lined up, they did their main event first. So you did really, I could see someone, not only, I just have lack of a better word, casual fans or people that, you know, have to work in the morning, I could kind of see them checking out after the Mox and match, because a lot of the stuff that they had for the rest of the show was predictable, but Swerve was like, I'm going to get you later. Maybe they's like, okay, well, let me see what Swerve's going to do, and they stayed awake for that.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So, I liked the fact that they put that in the middle of the show, honestly. I thought it was a nice little usage, and again, continues to build. That was one of the things I liked they did in terms of, like, getting people excited for the title match that's going to be happening in a few days. So, like, I was actually a real big fan of that. MVP then comes out with the Hurt Syndicate, and he comes out with Bobby Lashley. And MJF then came out before Lashley could even say anything. And he proceeds to go, pardon my interruption, but you kind of disrespected me last week, Bob, but I'm going to introduce myself to you guys formally. I'm MJF, a generational talent. I know about you and Shelton Benjamin. And Shelton, I know you had some travel issues. I'll see you down the road. Now, we know about Bobby Lashley, but this is AEW, and you're standing on the block that I built. So now, I know this place like the back of my hand. I know how to get to the top and stay on top. I can help you and Shelton hold on to those tag team titles for as long as you guys wish. Cards on the table. I know you can help me get back my Triple B, my AEW World Champion. And he's saying, basically, Bobby Lashley is MJF, and the Hurt Syndicate is MJF and the Hurt Syndicate right now, man. This is just good business, Bobby. And you may not want MJF, but Bobby, you need MJF. Bobby was like, listen, I don't trust you. And out of respect for MVP, I'm not laying you. That's the reason why I'm not going to leave you lying here. And he does not like him, and he says, we do not need you, so unless you prove yourself otherwise, get out of my face. And MJF's like, okay. And then he leaves the ring. And MJF, trying to show his worthiness for the Hurt Syndicate, which is, this whole thing right now is, like, it's very interesting just seeing, like, MJF go down this road specifically. This was something I did not see coming, honestly, when this started happening.
Oh, no, I think the Hurt business has been teetering on the line of being heel since they got there. I think they are using MJF to turn them face.
Yeah.
So, but when I saw this, I thought this was really cool. I did have this moment. I was talking to JR. I was like, you know what would have been cool? When Bobby Lashley, like, I don't like you. If MJF would have said, no one does. I don't trust you. No one does. You know what I mean? Because he accepts that he's not liked. He accepts that he doesn't trust you. Like, for him to say, I'm happy you don't like me. I'm a dick. I'm happy you don't trust me. That shows you have intelligence. You know, that's why I want to hang out with you, because, you know, you don't trust me. You're not easily manipulated like the rest of these people, kind of thing. You know, because that is the MJF character in a nutshell. He's been invited to join a faction before and then immediately screw them over. You know, so I understand Bobby Lashley. He's watched the show. I love it. Sometimes when new people come in and they're on the face side of things, you can't tell if they've ever watched wrestling before. Bobby Lashley has watched the show, and he's like, "You're not somebody to trust." And you know, and it was like, you know, the respect he has for MVP. I like it. I love this feeling in wrestling. If you've ever heard this show, you will understand this. I have no idea where this is effing going. Mm-hmm. I have my guesses, but it's literally just guesses. I have no way, no idea where this is, where this group dynamic is going. Are we going to get something from Dynasty? Is it going to be next week on Dynamite? It could be either one of those. I don't know. But whatever it is, I think it's going to pay off. And because they've been cooking, AEW has been cooking for like the last roughly 3 months, you know, I am willing to say, let's see how this plays out. And I honestly, I'm not trepidatious, because I like everybody involved in this group. And I like how Bobby Lashley and MJF is being presented, because Bobby Lashley's not stupid. And MJF is not stupid either.
Yeah, no. So I guess I'm right there with you. No goddamn clue where this thing is going. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm intrigued. I want to see what the tie-in is, though. We had a squash match between Big Bill and Brian Keith versus two local wrestlers. Big Bill then just said, basically, we whoop Top Flight's ass on Collision. And on Sunday, we're going to whip yo ass, because we want that match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, calling out the AEW Tag Team Champions. They're calling out the Hurt Syndicate. Then backstage segment with Mercedes Moné. Basically, he's talking about how she's facing Julia Hart in the first round of the Owens, saying it's going to take a lot more than tricks and spells to stop her. And then we move into the next match. Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight teaming up to face Blake Christian and Lee Johnson. And that was where we found out that Will and Kevin Knight would be facing each other in the first round of the Owens. So very much solid little match to have those guys in, and then to have the announcement of Kevin Knight to be facing off against Ospreay. And he had this moment where he took over in this match. He honestly was just like really showing off everything he's got. And Blake Christian also had a really nice spot with a 450 stomp. Kevin Knight, though, springboarding onto Lee, getting the pin on Lee Johnson. So solid performance from Kevin, now getting a match, singles match in a tournament against Will Ospreay. Big time stuff, honestly. So, I mean, it's going to be, I'm very excited to see how he holds up against Ospreay in that match.
Absolutely. Will Ospreay is absolutely incapable of having a bad match. If Kevin even somewhat holds up of his side, people are going to be talking about how amazing he is in his future next week.
Oh, no question about it. Then the ops come out, and they have a message basically being like, Joe's asking and being like, a lot of y'all are wondering why we started this group in the first place. It's because when I knew, when I came back to this battlefield, I needed to bring a different arsenal, and we're going to be watching at Dynasty, and we're going to be seeing y'all, and do not let us catch you lacking. So the ops leaving a message of like, hey, expect us, and, you know, don't be looking around looking confused when we show up. And then Brody King versus Lance Archer was the next match. And this was really, really, really good, honestly. I enjoyed this match a lot. Don Callis tried to screw over Brody King a little bit, but Lance Archer tried to use that to advantage. But you know what? Didn't matter. In this meat match, Brody King is the meatiest of the meat. And this is like literally Brody King is one of my faves. That dude is just such a wrecking ball, man. And it's just so fucking cool. And Lance Archer, too, man. He's been doing some good stuff, too. It's nice to see him get consistent work, because he's always been really good with AEW. And I just love the fact that this was a meat match and the crowd knew it.
I love the fact that people, they understood it was a meat match and people understand what the crowd want. AEW, like, if you're a big man in AEW and you're wrestling a big man in AEW, you don't even have to think. Dude, get in the middle of the ring, club each other. Everybody in the fans base is going to say meat. Throw a bunch of big moves. One of them wins.
That's all you need to do.
It is the fucking formula for these meat matches. I even said they could do an all-night meat tournament if they wanted to.
Genuinely.
Because it's a very simple formula. Do a
fucking sponsorship with Texas Roadhouse or something.
Dude. I would call it the Tomohiro Ishii a Big Meaty Man Challenge. Why? Because that's what you need to do. If you're like, I don't know what to do in this match, go watch an Ishii match.
Yeah,
that dude is 5'6", and he stands in the middle of the ring and fucking throws forearms. That's it. Then he throws a brainbuster and the match is over. It's like, this is like the most simple formula, and I will never get tired of it. It is the Jason Statham movies of matches. You could do the same thing over and over, and I'm going to love it each time. God damn it. And they understood the assignment. Archer and Brody King understood the assignment. Brody King gets the win. I love this match. I want it more and more and more.
Oh, yeah. No, I would love to see these guys go at it again. And, man, I love me some Brody King. I love me some Brody King. That man is a beast. And then we get into the main event, though. Rated R superstar Cope versus Claudio Castagnoli, and
the match was dull to me.
Dude, no, that's what I was going to say. I didn't really care about the match. I was just going to talk about the segment.
Yeah, let's talk about the segment, because this match
was a slow, honestly, kind of disappointing match.
I could see, like, a professional wrestler, someone that does this for a living, sitting me down and telling me why this match is awesome. But the problem is, if you have to tell me why a match is good, guess what? Probably wasn't good.
Yeah, basically. So Cope gets the victory. Afterwards, we're still backstage with Renee trying to get an update on Willow. And Swerve was like, listen, you know what? Listen, all due respect, Renee, I'm looking for your husband right now. And Hangman shows his face, and he's coming down, and he's screaming. He's telling Swerve, you're wasting your time, you deserve your house being burned down. You deserve everything that happened to you. You deserve your house being burned down. And Swerve agreed. He's like, you're right. I deserved it. And Hangman is
crying. I know.
Yeah, he's like, I know. And he's like, Hangman's completely stunned. Completely stunned. He walks away. And as Hangman walks away, that's when Moxley and the Death Riders show up. And they jump Swerve, they throw him into like some glass like stuff over into the like just this pile of junk off to the side. They drag his ass to the ring, and Swerve's being taunted by Mox while he's on the ground. Yuta then gets a bucket of glass and dumps it all over the ring. Claudio with a powerbomb on the glass to Swerve. Swerve then, just as they're leaving, he's just kind of like sitting up, and he's just got this look of death in his eyes. It's like, you've just angered this man so goddamn much, you have no idea what you just unleashed upon yourself. And Death Riders leave through the crowd as Swerve has got like a look that could kill. So really, really good ending. Like I said, main event match, dull, but the closing moments with the developments of Swerve and Hangman's amazing rivalry now having a little bit of like a hang on a minute, maybe there's a chance for some olive branches. And then Death Riders going after Swerve, but then they may not know it, but they just woke up a monster.
Dude, he did the Undertaker sit up.
Dude,
yeah, I was like, and the glasses on his back. I was like, dude, they understood the assignment. The assignment was to sell more pay-per-views, and I think this segment did it. This segment, mm-hmm. how it ended up being booked, put doubt in my mind.
Okay.
When I came in to this segment or this show, before the Hangman thing, before the Mox getting the upper hand thing, I was like, oh, yeah, Mox is winning in Philly. I had no doubt Swerve was going to lose. He was going to be the challenger of the month. whole lot of doubt in my mind. I am not as confident in anything. When we get to the predictions, I'll be more with my thought process. But, yeah, this put a lot of doubt in my mind, which makes me super happy.
I love that, honestly. Because we need that. We need that. But that was AEW Dynamite for the go-home show. Real quickly, before we get into our Dynasty preview, we have our matches that we have coming up for Collision. First up, we're going to have Top Flight. They're going to be facing off against Action Andretti and Leo Rush on Collision. So that's going to be a nice little tag match that we're going to get. We're going to get Speedball Mike Bailey taking on Dralistico. Ricochet will be on commentary for that match. And then we'll have Powerhouse Hobbs and Ishii facing Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita in a tag match. Oh, my God. Like, that match looks like it could fucking slap. So I'm super gassed about that. Cash Wheeler gets a one-on-one match against one-third of the Trios Champions pack of the Death Riders.
Yes, and people appreciate this because literally you could count on, I think, three fingers how many singles matches Cash has had in AEW.
Genuinely.
Yeah, like, seriously? One was against Dax. I know there was a second one that I don't remember, and this is the third one. So he does not do singles matches a lot, so take it in. Take it in.
Yeah. And then tag match between some of the Owen Hart tournament opponents. We have Harley Cameron teaming up with Mercedes Moné to face Julia Hart and Athena. If I swear to God, if they don't sell the Harley puppets at some, I mean the Mercedes puppets at some point, I mean, Mercedes, I'm sure you'll get a cut at this point. Harley's trying to make you some goddamn money because she is money. So, like, I'd fucking take her up on it a little bit. I'm just saying. Like, you could carry him out there. Be amazing. Be amazing. I'm just saying. So, yeah. And then, obviously, we're going to be starting up the tournament, the Owen at Dynasty. And we're going to be starting up after Dynasty the Owen. So, we'll just go ahead now, and we'll preview AEW Dynasty. So let's get into the matches.
Did you see the other two matches Tony Khan announced that are going to be the show?
I saw one that was going to be announced, and then I think that was there another one that was like a 0 hour one. I think.
Let's see. Is it 0 hour?
Because I know. Because first off, I know the Ring of Honor Championship is going to be defended by Chris Jericho against Bandido. Which fuck yeah, I think that
it didn't
fun.
Get become official until today, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher. So let's.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go.
So those both of the. So first off, well, I guess we'll do Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher. I feel like Fletcher's got to win that personally. I just feel like he's just continuing to be such a badass, and I think he's got all the momentum like in this match. So I would say Kyle Fletcher wins that, first of all.
I have been asked respectfully by Mr. Kyle Fletcher to only refer to him by his full name, The Protostar Kyle Fletcher. So The Protostar Kyle Fletcher will beat Mark Briscoe in Philadelphia, even though it just seems like it seems like the home field advantage is on Mark Briscoe's side. I'm going with Kyle Fletcher to get the win.
Okay. Ring of Honor World Championship between Chris Jericho and Bandido. Honestly, considering the vignettes, considering everything they've been building towards with Bandido coming back, fucking give Bandido the Ring of Honor World title. Do it. I don't think it'll happen, but I'm picking Bandido. I'm picking Bandido to win this goddamn thing.
I'm picking Bandido to win. I don't think they're going to unmask him. I think if he was actually going to get unmasked, it seems like it would be a bigger thing. And
that's right, yeah, because they are trying to unmask him in it. Yeah,
yeah, it's
right.
Title versus mask, so I'm going
I with, forgot about that, yeah.
I'm going with mask, so go, yeah. Bandido, go.
Go, Bandido, go, yeah. We'll get the first quarterfinal match in the Owen, Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight. Knight, I'm excited to see him wrestle on this. This is a huge match for him. Ospreay will win, but I'm just excited to see how Knight does, because he showed out on Dynamite. I will not lie. So I want to see how he holds himself.
That's all you're looking on in this match. When you're watching this match, the winner's not in question. You just want to see how Kevin Knight holds himself up against Will Ospreay.
Exactly. No, that's really the only way to look at this. The other women quarterfinal match in the Owen for the women's side, Mercedes Moné versus Julia Hart. It's going to be Mercedes, I feel like. Well, actually, I still think it's going to be Mercedes. I know Floyd gave you already his thoughts about how Mercedes is going to get screwed over by Athena.
See, I think Mercedes is going to win this match. She's not going to get screwed over into her match with Harley in the next round.
I see. Okay.
And then that's how Harley gets into the finals. That's how I see it going down. But yeah, I got Mercedes winning this match.
Yeah. I know Sydney really wants Julia. These are two of Sydney's faves. Sid loved Mercedes when she was in WWE, and she liked Mercedes now. And she loves Julia Hart. It's her all-time favorite. So this is a tough one for her, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm hoping for a good performance out of this one for sure.
Absolutely.
Hurt Syndicate versus Big Bill and Brian Keith should be a solid enough match. I'm interested if I feel like Hurt Syndicate wins this match, but they also get a little bit of help from MJF. Like MJF comes in to try to show his worth.
Absolutely. Big Bill's a big monkey. Big old motherfucker. He's a big old motherfucker. And when you saw, you don't realize how big he was. Bobby Lashley is one of the largest human beings I've ever seen as far as,
yes,
like, width, height, everything. And then Big Bill stands over him, and he looks like a child compared to him. So, yeah, I could see.
He was one of the ones on the cruise, man. I couldn't believe it, man. I was just like, holy shit.
Yes, and he's super nice and super chill. But I guess when you're that large, you don't have that many problems with people, because who's going to go try to fight the giant?
Yeah, I don't know who would do that. Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. There is no time limit for this match and no outside interference.
I am making two predictions on this match.
Go for it.
First, it's going on first. This is how the show opens. Second, the winner and new TNT Champion, Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, this has got to be Adam Cole, I feel like, because I love my boy Danny G. I love Garcia. Fortunately, it's just been a title reign that's been mostly held on Collision, and for the most part, it's just been honestly. Adam Cole, I think, will immediately give that title a lot of shine just for being who he is. It'll be a nice little reign for him now being back. And then maybe we'll be able to finally get to the point where this belt has fully, because I don't blame Daniel Garcia. I do not blame Daniel Garcia for this reign. He had to try to lift this championship out of the mud left by the previous reign holder. And listen, man, I don't wish that job upon anybody, because, I mean, he literally went and, like, basically turned the belt into, like, charred, like charcoal and shit like that, and people still didn't care.
I think something's about to happen with Daniel Garcia. I think there's going to be a character shift. Over the last few weeks, they did the in-ring thing, and first of all, Daddy Magic said you didn't need to wrestle him again, and then he told Daddy Magic he wasn't coming out to the ring, and Daddy Magic was concerned again. And so I think it's going to end up being like Garcia loses, and Daddy Magic's like, I told you not to fight him again. Yeah, why did you take this? Why did you take this match? You basically gave him everything he wanted, and that's why you lost. Yeah, so I think something's about to go down there. And I do like that the TNT title is kind of the official belt of Collision right now.
No, it is nice, because, I mean, like, it is the TNT show, honestly. So yeah, it makes all the sense in the world.
And all due respect to Dan Garcia, because he's amazing. He's one of my favorite people in AEW. It is going to be higher profile putting it on Adam Cole. Big time matches. The TNT, I can see the TNT title main eventing a lot of Collisions going forward. He's a big name on the card. And if you've watched the matches with Garcia, you see, and if you're paying attention, you see Adam Cole is slowly getting better. Like, he was a little rusty when he first came back.
He was. It took a little bit of ring rust.
I'm just saying, he was on a fucking new ankle. So, yeah. But, you know, week after week in those six-man matches, and you just saw him slowly getting his movement back, slowly getting his confidence back. I feel like we're going to see Adam Cole at his full form on Sunday.
I agree. I think this will be the first time people remember, oh, yeah, this is fucking Adam Cole.
Yeah, one guy that a lot of people argued whether he was the best wrestler in the world for years. He didn't forget how to wrestle. He just had a major surgery, and if you've ever watched sports, sometimes it takes you a few weeks to come. It takes you a little while to get fully comfortable playing on something like a new ankle.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I'm excited for this match still. Trios Championship between the Death Riders and Rated FTR. Listen, Rated FTR, there's too much going on. They ain't win this match.
See, I'm in the middle, and this has nothing to do with me liking Rated FTR, because I think there's two ways that you can go about executing this. Rated FTR wins the titles, everything looks okay. And then, you know, Death Riders or whoever's next challenges them, and then you start seeing the cracks that everything's not okay.
Sure.
As you're trying to build towards Double or Nothing, because we got a little bit before Double or Nothing, and then maybe they lose the titles back. I could see it going that way, or I could see there being some kind of mixed communication, Dax and Cope having an issue, and then the Death Riders winning, and then there's all these problems after the match. I could see it going either way. In the end, as long as it ends with FTR dropping Cope on his head, I'm okay with it. But if I have to pick, you know, because, you know, I don't hedge. If I have to pick, I am going with your new Trios Tag Team Champions, Rated FTR.
Hey, man, I'd love for FTR to get some more belts under themselves, but I'll go Death Riders. I'll just go with the safe one.
Okay.
But next match, Toni Storm versus Megan Bain for the AEW Women's World Championship. I'm really hoping Megan Bain really wins me over. I think, because I don't hate her. I think she's good. I think she's getting better. I think she's solid. She's working against the best with the women's division right now with Toni Storm. So I think this is the moment where I could be like, okay, I'm a believer in Megan Bain. I like her, but I'm not sold completely. Obviously, Tony's going to win this match. But I want to see Megan really win me over. I'm hoping I walk away from this match being like, Megan Bain is a future champion.
I am 100% sure this is not how this match is going to be booked, but in my mind, this is how we go. Megan destroys her. Like, the whole match just throws her around. I'm talking Brock Lesnar, John Cena. She has her beat. She gets cocky. Toni Storm rolls her up and wins. That's how I would book the match. Like,
right. No, Toni, she needs to look dominant.
Yeah, like Toni Storm just survived her. She didn't beat her. Or just do the thing. You know, a lot of times AEW stops short of pulling the trigger. I would love for them once just pull the trigger and just have Megan Bain win. But
I mean, I'd be surprised about that. But I mean, like, hey, if they can make it work, then fucking do it.
Yeah, but you don't want to turn Toni Storm into Charlotte Flair, and she ends up being like a 19-time champion in 2 years. So I say,
I agree.
If you're asking the prediction, like which we are, I'm just going Toni Storm to win.
Yeah. Then the three-way match for the International Championship, Kenny Omega versus Ricochet versus Speedball Mike Bailey should be so, so, so goddamn fun.
Only thing more definitive than Kenny Omega winning this match is Will Ospreay winning his match. I mean, I think there is a 99.9% chance, 99.8% chance Kenny Omega is winning this match. Ricochet has been really hot, and I think it would help his momentum if he was like the pin Speedball and Kenny not lose the match. But we all know where we feel this Kenny Omega title run is going. So, yes, Kenny Omega is going to win this
Kenny
match.
Kenny is not losing the belt quite some time.
And I feel like we're going to hear music and a stare down after this match.
Ooh.
Between the most perfect-looking Japanese man in history of the world, Kazuchika Okada.
Come on, man. And then, yeah, I've also got Kenny Omega for sure. Finally, the AEW World Championship match, Jon Moxley versus Swerve Strickland. I'm pretty sure going into this match, we were all pretty certain that, you know, this could be the moment where they're like, okay, we're cutting our losses because it's been better recently. It's been slightly better. But in the end, Death Riders has been a group that has not been incredibly over. It has been a group that has not done enough to really justify their existence. And Jon Moxley It's no doubt it's his worst title reign in AEW, which is not saying a lot because every single title reign he's done amazing. But I thought I'm still gonna go with my gut. I think at this point right now, Swerve's got to be the guy. I think Swerve should be the one to just, you know, let's get this done. Same day, same show, same town, I'm pretty sure, that he won the AEW World Championship last year to become the first African American.
Last year was in St. Louis.
Not the same town? Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know for sure if it was the same town or not.
Yeah.
But same show, same day that he was the AEW World Champion, the first ever black AEW World Champion last year. Make this show his, dude. Like, I think it'd be crazy to see, like, it'd be a really cool storyline, too, to play with, to say, like, I do not lose here. Yeah. This is where I cemented myself. You are not beating me on this night. It's not possible. It would genuinely be a really cool little feather in his cap. That would be an interesting thing for a storyline next year. So I'm not 1,000% confident in it, but I'm going to go Swerve Strickland, your new AEW World Champion.
And this feels like Sami Zayn in Montreal and Drew in Scotland. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's so obvious that it should be Swerve that Mox is going to win. That's how I feel. Like, I just feel like they've set it up to where it's like Swerve's going to win this match, right? And, Mox is going to win this match. I hope Swerve wins it. I, unlike everyone else, don't have the problem with the Death Riders that everyone else does. But you have to say this, during this Death Riders reign, and it probably has nothing to do with the Death Riders. All the ratings are up over the last 6 weeks. Ticket sales are up. Everything's trending up with Mox as the champion. As much as people like us hardcores don't like this reign, it has drawn. It has drawn really, really well. So, but in this case, I'm calling Mox, hoping I'm wrong, but I just don't feel like it's time for Mox to lose the title yet. And that should tell you how much they pivoted, because halfway through January, I was like, dude, just do anything different. Just please get the belt off this guy. He is so boring. But they have changed the presentation of the Death Riders so much. No 20-minute long rambly promos where you don't know what the fuck they're talking about. None of that. They have adjusted to when they are out there, their spots matter and you pay attention. And I think that has improved the storyline 100%.
I can definitely see that from you. And again, like I said, I do think they have gotten better.
Yeah.
It still doesn't click for me, though. And it probably will never click for me, unfortunately, just because of my pure factor of being like, you know, hey, look, man, they just literally... It's the same thing, you know? It's the same thing, but just with a different coat of paint. I've said it too many times.
Oh, no. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is Roman Reigns in the Bloodline. Right. It really is. I mean, if you see how it's built, it's pretty much the same. They win by cheating every time, and it's going to take something amazing to finally overcome it. But I think you've ran with this Jon Moxley reign so long, the only place to end this reign, and I don't care who it is, the only place to end this reign is July 12th in Dallas, Texas, or in Arlington, Texas. That's the only place to end this reign to me. We've eaten our vegetables this long. You want the biggest moment. You want the biggest moment on the biggest stage you have. That's Moxley. That's Ospreay. That's All In. So I'm going with Moxley winning this match.
All right. Sounds good to me. That is our preview for Dynasty. Very excited for the show. Should be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to be able to have the time to watch it. So I'm hyped that I'm not nearly as busy as I was, so I'm going to be able to actually sit down and watch this thing. Hopefully y'all enjoy Dynasty as well. We've got a couple quick things we want to touch on, some other headlines before we get out of here and we wrap up the show. Floyd, do you want to go ahead?
Along with Jay White, Fightful Select, Sean Ross Sapp has reported both Mark Davis and OC have injuries. We don't know the severity of Mark Davis' injury, well, from the report, but OC has a torn pec And if you look on, you've seen Cody Rhodes. It can take 3 to 6 months. So he has a torn pec. So wishing a speedy recovery for Orange Cassidy. And I'm going to say this, and this is a hear-me-out situation. I never want a wrestler to get hurt. If it was a perfect world, everyone would be 100% all the time, but this is wrestling. I do feel like at the time of this injury, Orange Cassidy was pretty much as stale and as boring as he's been in AEW in a while. So taking this time off and coming back in a major way, I think will do a lot for the OC character.
He's been close, not there yet, but he's been close to overexposed.
Yes. So this will allow a reset. Again, I am not saying I'm happy he's hurt. I want to make sure that is very, very clear.
No, sure.
You can't edit this. But a break for OC's character on TV, I think this was, if there is ever a right time to get hurt or whatever, which there isn't one, this seemed to fit because he wasn't really in anything. You know what I mean? I don't know what had plans, but he wasn't in anything. Like, Mark Davis, this sucks. He just came back from an injury, and he's hurt again. Jay White, we were about to get a Jay White versus Will Ospreay pay-per-view match. Fuck, that sucks. OC, I think ultimately, if they ever want OC to be world champion, if they ever see him as a major player in the show again, this break and this comeback is going to be amazing. I feel the same way about Eddie Kingston. When Eddie comes back, that pop is going to be so amazing because he went away for a while. So, I think Orange Cassidy will get the same treatment because he is an AEW legend. So he comes down, his music hits and he has his hands in his pockets. That pop is going to be fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think that's where... Yeah, I mean, I feel like that when he returns, people will be missing him so goddamn much. So I'm right there with you, though. I'm right there with you.
So, okay, and the last piece of information is SEC Scoops announced on, Wednesday. They let out a report that just based on his AEW Max report, the corroborated numbers, it looks like about 500,000 people are watching AEW Dynamite every week. Honestly, there is a video out by Voices of Wrestling where they talk to the guy that did the interview. Let's see. I'm trying to find his name. The guy that actually did the report because I want to give him credit. But I'm clicking a lot in the wrong spots right now. BJ Bethel. BJ Bethel on SEC Scoops. He's more of a TV guy than a wrestling guy. So... apparently, when it comes to Max, and I feel like I'm going to take me a little victory lap because I was telling a friend that said, well, they must not be doing big numbers on Max because they're not announcing everything. And I was like, dude, I've Googled, I've searched. Max has never let out their numbers for any show.
Nothing.
Any show. And BJ Bethel came on and corroborated that by saying that even the top execs don't know the minutia of what shows are watching. They know subscriber numbers and everything. They know big numbers. They don't know how many people, and they don't report it to Tony Khan every week. He says he on the media call, he says they don't report it to him every week. Because I was saying, yes, in wrestling history, if they don't brag about the number, it usually means the number's not good. But HBO Max is a different bird. Even their formula for deciding who's watching what, it's proprietary. They won't discuss it. They won't even let you know what does it. What they did is they said, this is how many millions of minutes are being watched on AEW, and then they divided it by a two-hour show. They said it'll be roughly 500,000 people. It could be more. It could be less are watching the show every week. And that's it. That's all the information we have on the viewership. Tony Khan said on the media scrum today that the reports lined up with what little information he has been told. So just letting you know, with this HBO Max thing, I even said it, if you're going to choose a way to watch the show, I would say watch it on HBO Max because I think that's going to largely decide on what their next number is. But It looks like 1 million to 1.2 million people are watching Dynamite every week. And the way he explained it is, if you look at the rate at which people have dropped cable, they're pretty much just getting the people back that couldn't access Dynamite through, like, legal means. They're just like, oh, they say, oh, you can sign up for Max. I'll get on there and watch it that way, because they had dropped cable. So I listened to the whole video. I very rarely listen to stuff like this, but I really want to understand the number, because I didn't want to blow the number up and it not be a right number.
No, sure.
I wanted to be able to give all the information around the number. This is an estimate based on minutes watched, and they believe it could be higher or lower. But yeah, like 1 million people are watching the show every week. I know that's weird because AEW's dead and they're never coming back. But hey, it looks, for a dead company, I think they're the Undertaker, because I believe they're zombies. They are the Walking Dead.
Seemingly, man.
Yeah. So that was great. Yeah, that was the information we have for today. They're probably going to announce the 0 hour shows on Collision, which is Saturday.
Oh, sure.
Tony Khan basically said on media call other stuff would be announced. So I'm looking forward to that. But I believe that's all the news. I'm not missing anything. There is one thing I want to discuss, and I waited until the end of the show, so you can pretty much cut the show off if you don't want to hear this. Cody Gareth Runnels, a.k.a. Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
He has been on Twitter this week, and and there is two sides to this, and I think they're both dumb. And I wanted to address it in my last few minutes on the show for this episode. There is one side that says Cody Rhodes' involvement in AEW existence is way overblown.
Mm.
That is laughable. And then there's this other side. There's this other side that doesn't believe AEW made Cody better in any way. Again, I believe, I over here trying to be a rational human, believe both of these sides are ridiculous. You have heard the stories. Cody designed the AEW world title. The Double or Nothing name is his. All In is his. He worked in the backstage. A lot of the signings are people that he agreed to sign. All that kind of stuff. AEW doesn't exist without the hard work of Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That is true. Also, what is true is when Cody joined AEW, for the most part, he was considered the face of the company.
Yes.
He was on the Big Show. He was the face of them during the pandemic. He was on the TBS Big Show. He was on NFL Network. He was doing the talk show circuit as the face of AEW, him or Chris Jericho. He was doing all the media. He had the reality show with Brandy. Dude, they were the face of AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it too much of a stretch that Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon were watching this man carry himself well and be the face of a national brand product in America and decided, you know what? I didn't see him in that role before, but I see him in that role now, to the point where they then fly to his house, sign him, and then make them the face of their company.
I mean,
both statements are ridiculous because they're so opposite of the truth. You worked at somewhere before you work now, right?
Yes.
The experience there made you better prepared to work at the second job, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
They didn't make you, but they did help you get better, right, with the experience.
Oh, absolutely.
I worked somewhere before I work now, and I was in a team lead position where I worked, right? Being in a team lead position and getting frustrated with people got me to my next job, where I am now, that I've been at 10 years, and I understood how to be a better employee. Again, the previous company didn't make me, but I did get better being from there.
1,000%.
So it's ridiculous that we're still having this conversation. Cody Rhodes is the face of WWE. Don't care about him. hate him, be happy for him, whatever the fuck you choose is your business. Mm-hmm. AEW still exists. You can still give him his flowers for saying AEW's this and say fuck you because you left. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But to try to somehow minimize his involvement in the creation of AEW, to me, that is just so disingenuous and stupid. It's like, why? Why are we still talking about the creation of AEW? We're like in the sixth year. We're moving on. Why? And I am a fan of tribalism. I think tribalism exists in every part of this universe. But these statements are so... they make so much not sense, I can't even wrap my head around them. You hear me getting fired up because... Both sides are dumb. Yes.
Well, then, too, I mean, like, let's be frank, too. In the last episode of Raw where Cody was on it, he talked about, he's like, he did the whole, against Cena, the whole B-Rabbit of Eminem, but this guy ain't no motherfucking MC. I know everything he's about to say against me. And basically tried to take away all his shots. He's like, I got booed in a company I created. And I saw some genuine people being like, Cody didn't create AEW. And I'm just like, guys.
He did. He helped do it. Tony Khan says it doesn't exist without him. Tony Khan, the owner, said it doesn't exist without him. What are we doing?
No, and it's like, well, it's like, oh, no, you're telling me Cody wasn't just part of the ride with his two way more famous friends? And I'm just like, are you actively trying to make the case that the Young Bucks are more famous than Cody fucking Rhodes?
Dude, the AEW was the American Revolution. Cody Rhodes was George Washington. I'm not saying there wasn't other important people in the revolution, but the clear leader of the revolution was Cody. If you were there at the first events, you know it was Cody versus Triple H. That's what everybody was building. It wasn't Tony Khan versus Triple H. It was Cody versus Triple H.
TK was barely presence for most of the first year or two.
Though Cody opened the show, Cody ended the show. He was the face of AEW. It is why it hurt so much when he left, to me. I know some people don't like Cody Rhodes, but just because you don't like someone doesn't mean you get to rewrite history.
No, yeah.
It's just like history exists. Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, Tony Khan, Mookie Ghana. These are all people that are important to the creation of AEW. All of them deserve credit. None of them deserve to be minimalized. Minimalized is the word I was looking at. Shaka Khan, because he's the money. None of these factors need to be minimalized. It doesn't make your guy better. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make your guy better. It doesn't make your guy more important. These are the names that helped create it. Brandi Rhodes, I forgot her. I am so sorry. But these are the people that were the faces of these. These are the people that turned down big money contracts from other places to bet on AEW. And their bet has paid off. Whether Cody's with the company anymore, the bet has paid off. So, chill the fuck out. I just like, dude, I don't care about tribalisms. Hate who you want. Just don't lie.
If you want to speak truth, that's all, like I said, because we're all here if we're speaking truth. That's all it is, man.
And both companies do enough fucked up shit that you don't need to lie.
Correct.
Like, if you don't like something in AEW, talk about the nails in his back or whatever you want to talk about.
There's
plenty of shit to hate where you don't have to just make up shit.
That's all you got to do, man. That's all you got
to
do.
All right, well, I am done. I'm off my podium. But I just wanted to vent, and I didn't want it to take up the majority of the gut of this show.
You're good. And if I can do a little mini rant, too.
Yes.
God, I love how much the Nintendo Switch 2 looks amazing and has games that I'm dying to play, but why the fuck is Mario Kart 8 $80? Like... why are you charging that much for your games? You could honestly make your console $500 on its own, and people would be fine with it if you just didn't make the games $80. God, games are going to be so fucking expensive. When GTA 6 drops, it's going to cost like $100, and I hate it so goddamn much. But I love my Nintendo Switch, and I love Nintendo games, and I'm absolutely still going to get the bundle so I can play Mario Kart World because it looks so fucking fun, and there's a new Enter the Gungeon, and there's a fucking exclusive From Software game that's going to be on the Switch, and I'm getting Kirby Air Ride for the first time in over a decade, the game I grew up with my fucking childhood with Sydney. Like, they're fucking literally going to, like, throw money on another video game console because it looks so goddamn cool. But I do not support games costing $80. Fuck
you,
that shit.
You just explain why I only buy two games a year. Like, there you go. I got a wild hair up my ass to play baseball, right? I looked at MLB The Show and saw how much it costs. I've been playing MLB Show the 21. First of all, I don't know enough about baseball to know who's on whoever's team. I don't watch baseball.
Yes.
So it really, the rosters not being updated didn't bother me because I don't know who plays for who anyway.
Exactly.
So I
you're just playing for the logos.
Yeah, I'm just playing for the logos. I'm just playing with my Red Sox. So that being said, I definitely have enjoyed I've enjoyed playing baseball. But yeah, games are expensive. I buy college football and I buy college football and then I buy Madden. That's it.
And you buy wrestling games too,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, and because they do them in a double. I didn't even buy WWE. The only reason I got WWE 2K24 is because they gave it away free on PS Plus. Because honestly, I like the team building aspect of sports games, right?
Yes.
So I like making my team the greatest national championship team ever. I like making my I like winning as many Super Bowls as I can in 30 years. And in this baseball, I'm trying to win enough World Series as the owner and GM. That's more what I enjoy. The actual playing of the game, not really my thing anymore. So it's like I like the nineless team building stuff of it. So on wrestling, it's either you're playing the game and playing through or there's really no reason to play. You know what I mean? So...
You did your rant. I wanted to do my rant.
Yes.
God, that console looks so fucking cool.
But if it comes out free on PS Plus, I'll be happy.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to do it, though, for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Thank you for listening and hope you enjoy AEW Dynasty this Sunday. Be sure to continue to support the show. We appreciate the support. And you can support us by downloading the show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Turn automatic downloads on and give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you do not miss a single episode. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod, at Social Suplex, are the guys that make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Enjoy Dynasty. Have a great weekend, guys. And I will leave it off to Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Hey, guys. As we wrap up the show, you know, I usually have something super flowery and stuff. But I will say this, I said it last week, and I'm going to reiterate it. Just tell the people around you that matter to you how much they matter to you. You don't know how much time you have with them. I know that's a sad thing to think about. But if you don't think about it, that time passes. You really just want to let people know that you love them, that you care about them. Because in reality, we all say, they know they care about me. They know how I feel about them. But honestly, most people don't. So go through, tell everybody how you feel about them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them every day. Tell them you love them a lot. Tell them you love them so much they play, could you please quit telling me you love me so much? Because that way they'll know that you love them. And I will leave you how I'll always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.